All right, hello and welcome to a new episode of the Jack Hallows podcast. The hiatus is over. I am back. For anybody who used to listen to the podcast last year and got a little bit upset and has been messaging me because I haven't posted an episode in 4 months and I haven't regularly been posting episodes in about 6 months, I'm sorry. I am back now. I did take a little bit of a break from podcasting just simply because I put out so much content across so many different mediums that I was just running out of time to be able to do quality episodes of the podcast. And I did sit down a few times to try and do an episode by myself. And honestly, I would just get frustrated with myself because I didn't feel like I was bringing enough quality to the table, right? We had a really good episode last year when I got back from the UK with Sebastian Orrib, the Australian strength coach. So if you missed that one, go give that a listen after this one. It was awesome. We talked about how he prepped Hafþór Bjørnsson to become the strongest man in the world and set the world record deadlift, as well as some of his biggest principles and best tips for becoming the strongest version of yourself as well. And given that we talk a lot about hypertrophy training and building muscle on this podcast and kind of building muscle, losing fat, all that kind of body composition stuff, it was really cool to have a different kind of conversation about strength athletes for those of you who just really want to maximize your ability in the gym. So go check that out. If you do enjoy the podcast, if you do go back and listen to some episodes or you've been here before and you like the episodes, please consider leaving a 5-star rating, whether you're on Apple or Spotify. I'd really appreciate that. And if you don't want to miss an episode moving forward, because I will be trying to upload these more regularly now, click the follow button because you won't always see them on Instagram or in my email list or anything like that. You might miss one. Whereas here, you can get the notification as soon as it goes live. So today, I wanted to get back in with a fairly simple podcast, and I was kind of racking my brain, and I was like, you know, what are some questions that I get asked very frequently? And I think the biggest one that I get asked away from social media when I tell people what I do for a living is, what's one piece of advice you could give me for having more success with my fitness goals? And I will put a disclaimer first by saying there's not one piece of advice that's going to fix every issue that you have with your fitness goals. But this one piece of advice and this one reframe for perhaps how you think about your fitness goals may make a pretty big impact. In fact, I think it will make a pretty big impact for at least 90% of you listening. There might be 10% of you out there who are well on top of this kind of thing. But for the most part, I think this is going to make a pretty big difference. And that is to make your fitness journey about you and what works for you, rather than trying to imitate what has worked for someone else. Mind blown, right? And it sounds so simple, but so many of us really struggle to do that. And even myself, when I got into the fitness industry, you know, I came off the back of having some pretty bad experiences with an eating disorder, with body dysmorphia, and with mental health kind of around fitness, around body composition, around all that sort of stuff. I do have another podcast episode talking about that, but maybe I'll do a refreshed one soon for the newer listeners. But that came from trying to mirror and mimic all of these people that I looked up to on YouTube and on social media. And, you know, a lot of these people weren't actually doing anything wrong. Yes, there was a lot of kind of smoke and mirrors around steroids and around Photoshop and around all that sort of stuff. But a lot of the advice they were giving out was simply what they do on a day-to-day basis. And I thought, well, it works for them. Surely it's going to work for me too, without kind of realizing, you know, these are people who are basically paid to do all that, you know, and they have full free reign over their time and full free reign over their lives and their decision making. Whereas I was in uni at the time, you know, I was basically had a lot of time filled by other commitments. And also, I'm not a bodybuilder. I never have been. You know, I enjoy building my body, but I'm not a competitive bodybuilder. I have no plans to step on stage. So those excessive, hardworking kind of tips of just being the hardest worker in the room and doing all this cardio and doing all this excessive activity, it wasn't something that was going to be sustainable for me long term, especially because I didn't really live and breathe that lifestyle. So what you want to do is, yes, you want to take inspiration from what other people are doing, you know, look at things and go, oh, okay, well, that sounds like something that could work for me. And that sounds like something I might enjoy. And that resonates with me. But figure out how you can put your own spin on these things to work for you. Because as human beings, we always want this like one unquestionable way of doing things. And that comes down to everything. It's like, you know, when you're a teenager, how do I ask out my crush on the playground? Like, what's the best way to do this? You know, all the way up to like, you know, in the future, I don't know, I'm not married or anything, but like, you know, how do I propose to someone? You know, how do I level up in my job? How do I get to the next level there? How do I, you know, for me right now, it's how do I take my business to the next level and scale these things? And a lot of the time there are success from other people leaves clues, but there's no like one way for everyone to do everything, right? And it's always going to change circumstantially and contextually. So doing something the way it works for something else maybe isn't going to work for you. And we're going to run through a couple of situations that this really applies. So the first one is going to be fat loss. And just the principle of fat loss is that if you want to lose body fat, you are going to have to consume less calories than you expend. Whether you like hearing that or not, whether you believe in calories or not, whether you're Eddie Abu or not, you know, the law of thermodynamics applies. Calories apply, okay? Where people then get mixed up is they think that, you know, that is telling everyone that you have to count calories in order to lose body fat. And you don't. There are other options that you can take. You know, Precision Nutrition, who the company that I did my kind of nutrition certifications through, they're fantastic. They have like a palm portion sized guide, right? So instead of actually tracking calories, you're using your hand and basing your portions off your hand. So a serving of protein is a palm sized serving of protein. So your chicken or your steak should be about the size of your palm. A serving of vegetables is one fist. So if you've got broccoli and carrots and spinach and all that sort of stuff, it should be about the size of your fist. A serving of carbohydrates, so rice, sweet potato, fruit, all that sort of stuff, one cupped handful. And then a serving of fat, so like avocado, nuts, peanut butter, all that sort of stuff, about a thumb, right? And then you adjust the portions to roughly however much you would need in a day. I can't actually remember what the exact amounts are. I might try and link this down in the show notes underneath in the description for those of you who kind of find that interesting. But it's a perfectly viable way of controlling portions because you are tracking your nutrition in some way, shape, or form. And then you essentially eat in that way to their recommendations based off your weight, based off the amount of portions of each that you need. And then if you aren't losing weight, you can basically go, okay, well, I'm going to take one of those portions of carbohydrates and I'm going to remove that, or I'm going to remove one of the portions of fat. Or, and you can, you're basically manipulating calories without having to worry about the calorie component. Obviously, the other option for those of you who just kind of like being told what to do is if you're not fussy about what you eat and you will just do what you're told, going to a dietitian and getting them to write you a meal plan, great. That's awesome. Because what they're going to do is they're going to write the meal plan based off the calories that they decide that you need in a day to lose body fat. So it's all calorie control. It's all calorie manipulation. It's just how you actually set that up as the system that works best for you, right? So an example, my dad is not a gym goer. My mom loves the gym. She gets in 4 or 5 times a week. She comes and trains with me at Prime Strength in Surrey Hills a couple of times a week. It's great. My dad does not love the gym, but my dad's always exercised. He's always loved playing sport, you know, right up until, you know, he's going to be 59 this year and he's still playing cricket. For the Americans, you can Google it. It's kind of like a less exciting baseball, I guess, is the way you'd probably see it. But yeah, he's played sport all of his life and he likes that. And recently he decided he wanted to lose some weight. He was weighing in around 100 kilos or something like that. And he's lost about 7 kilograms simply by cutting out alcohol, by reducing his portion sizes in the evening, and by going for a run a couple of times a week. But he has manipulated calories. He's reduced the amount of calories that he's been taking in by having less desserts in the evening and not drinking as much alcohol. And because he was drinking quite a bit of alcohol on the weekends, because he works Monday to Friday, works really hard, and then wanted to kick back on the weekends, and then he was adding in exercise by going for runs a couple of times a week, he was opening up that gap between the amount of calories that he's eating and the amount of calories that he's burning. He's not tracked anything. He's just gone, okay, well, I need to eat less and move more. And for him, that's worked because he's come from a position of being very sedentary and not really paying attention to his nutrition. And even if you are somebody who likes to count calories, the way that you set that up for yourself needs to be something that works for you in your own context, right? So to give you a couple of different examples, I've seen a lot of stuff about rapid fat loss going around on the internet lately and kind of like just get in, get out, get it done as quickly as possible. And that's my personal preference. So when I'm trying to lose body fat, I really like going, okay, I just want to do 8 weeks and I want to be aggressive and I'm going to go like 35% deficit and I'm just going to fucking hit it hard, do extra steps, do a bit of cardio if I need to, and I'm just going to get it done. But the caveat to that is I'm someone who's done this quite a few times. So I generally have a pretty good structure around this and I kind of know what works. I'm also in a very luxurious position whereby I can set my work hours because I run my own business around times where I know that, okay, I might get hungry here or I might start to crave food here. I have plenty of time to train, to go do steps, to do all those kind of things. So for me, I have a lot of freedom to play with and it makes that aggressive fat loss phase a lot easier. For other people, that might not be the case. Also, you know, I don't want to say this to come across the wrong way, but I usually don't have huge amounts of body fat to lose because I'm someone who generally stays quite lean. I've been doing this for years and I know how to stop myself from kind of needing to rein myself back in all the time. You know, yes, I get to the point where I'm like, oh, I've probably put on a little bit too much body fat at this point. I want to get leaner around the summer, but it's never like, oh my God, I've got to lose 10, 20 kilos. It's maybe 4 or 5, which in 8 weeks is very, very doable. On the other hand, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing a longer, more drawn out fat loss phase if that's something that works for you, especially if you've got more body fat to lose. So a friend of mine, Jesse, he won't mind me saying this, I don't think, but he's in a diet phase at the moment. He has been for the last couple of months. And he has a system where generally he goes pretty aggressive Monday to Friday because he works, he's got distractions, he films content for his own Instagram. And I'll link him in the show notes below. He's got some really cool recipes, really good tips on fat loss and stuff. Also a PT. But Monday to Friday, he's very busy. So for him, dieting aggressively is fine. No problems whatsoever. And then when it gets to the weekend, he really values having a social life. So he likes to go and hang out with his friends or go out for the day with his girlfriend. And he doesn't want to have to think too much while he's doing that. So the trade-off for him is that he'll have a maintenance day or two at the weekend and he'll just eat at maintenance calories. And then during the week, he'll eat a much more aggressive deficit. And he knows that that probably means it's going to take him an extra couple of weeks to get to his eventual fat loss goal, but he's fine with that because he has no timeline for it. He's happy in the way that things are going because he's balancing his social life, his relationship's going well, he's seeing all his friends, he's still training well, but he's also losing at a fairly standard rate per week, which is great. That's exactly what he wants to do. So even when it comes to doing the same methodology, the same mechanism for losing body fat, you got to set it up in the way that works for you. You know, if you're someone who's never really dieted before, chances are you're going to find it quite overwhelming counting calories and doing all this stuff for the first time. So it may take you a little bit longer and that's okay. You're allowed to make mistakes as you go. Whereas if you're somebody who's dieted multiple times, you know what you're doing, you're very, very adept at this. You have routines, you have schedules that you like with this. It's very easy to just kind of get in and get out. And I think some coaches kind of forget that sometimes and they have this one glove fits all system. Whereas the whole idea of coaching is if I'm working with you as your coach, for example, we're working together to figure out the best way to structure your meals, to structure your day, to give you success and set you up in the right way possible. Another one kind of around nutrition before we kind of get into the training side of things is intuitive eating. And I'll be fucking honest with you. I hate the idea of intuitive eating for people. You know, I am someone who has suffered with a eating disorder in the past. I said that before. And intuitive eating actually, and this is my own personal experience here, by the way. This is not science. This is my personal experience. I do want to put that across here. And I want to stress and emphasize that as much as possible. If intuitive eating works for you, it works for you. But the reason I don't really love intuitive eating is because for me, it took a lot of control away from food. And I actually started to worry a little bit more about the foods that I was eating. And I know for a lot of people as well, if you're somebody who's in the position whereby you want to lose body fat, it was because you were just listening to your cravings and quote unquote eating intuitively, not worrying about the foods that you were eating and the portion sizes and all that sort of stuff that got you into that position in the first place. So you need to be able to take some control back over the food that you're eating. And what a lot of coaches and influencers don't tell you is that they've tracked calories religiously for 5 to 10 years. For a long period of time, they've basically become this robotic walking MyFitnessPal diary. And when they tell you they're eating intuitively because they're not tracking their cals, they're actually lying to you because they are tracking their calories in their head. They're not eating 100% intuitively. It's not intuitive to go, I'm hungry. Okay, I'm going to eat 6 ounces of chicken breast. I'm going to eat 200 grams of sweet potato. That should come out to about 600, 700. Like, that's not intuitive eating. That is still doing the mental arithmetic around calories, right? So the idea of just listening to your body all the time, honoring your cravings all the time, no, I don't think that's a good idea for a lot of people, especially if you're somebody who doesn't really know what they're doing in terms of tracking food. You know, for me, I have periods that I don't track as closely. I'm doing that right now, but I still basically eat the same foods every day because I know it roughly comes out to 3,200 to 3,400 cals, which is where I can generally maintain a weight of about 94 kilograms. And if I go jump on the scale right now, I'm going to be somewhere between 92 and 94 kilograms. And I know that. But that's not intuitive. That's me being a walking MyFitnessPal because the amount of time that I've tracked for and knowing, you know, this is where I can kind of sit and still stay about the same. If I was to truly intuitively eat and not pay attention to anything, I'd probably just live off pizza, Thai food, and ice cream because I love all those foods. But I also know that they are very calorie dense, so I don't. The next one is training, okay? So there's a lot of stuff about the most optimal way to train, most optimal training splits, most optimal training movements, all that sort of stuff. And with training, there is a little bit more of an element of right and wrong answers to certain questions and certain scenarios for sure. But at the same time, there's still a lot of gray area and there's still a lot of personalization that has to be done. Optimizing your training is optimizing your training for you. And the biggest one is always training split. It's Jack, how many days a week should I train? Jack, how should I split up my training? Jack, you know, should I do upper lower or push pull legs? And the first question I ask someone is, how many days a week can you actually train? And they'll always say to me, I can train any day, man. I'm like, no, you fucking can't. And I know you can't. Okay. That's why you're asking this question. So how many days a week can you actually train? And then what you need to do is you need to base your training split off the amount of days that you can train and your priorities with your training. So let's say you can train 4 days a week. Do not buy a push-pull legs 6 days a week program for 4 days a week. It's not going to give you the best results, okay? Buy an upper-lower program for 4 days a week or a push-pull legs full body. Or, you know, if you're someone who wants to grow your glutes more, for example. This is a split that I use with a lot of my girls who love training glutes, is glutes and delts on the Monday, they then rest Tuesday, they then train quads and hamstrings on the Wednesday, they train upper body on the Thursday, they rest on the Friday, and then they train lower body on the Saturday. So they actually train glutes twice per week over the 4 day split. They train upper body twice per week over the 4 day split. We just split it up in a way that's a little bit different and probably looks a bit strange on paper, but works really well, gets really good results. So when you're doing your training split and you're looking at, you know, what somebody else is doing, bad idea. Look at what you can actually fit in and then split your training up over those days accordingly, you know, and it is okay to have more volume allocated to body parts that you want to train more often and that you want to grow, as long as it's not excessive, you know, as long as you're not going, I'm going to train 4 days a week and they're all going to be glute day. That's just stupid. But if you say to yourself, I'm going to train 4 days a week, I'm going to have 2 full lower body days. And then on one of my upper body days, I'm also going to do some RDLs and some hip thrusts or some RDLs and some back extension or something just for a bit of extra glute volume. There's nothing wrong with that. That is absolutely fine, especially if you're not as worried about having as much upper body volume in your week. So same thing with exercise selection and all that sort of stuff as well. Like, there are exercises that we know work really, really well. But you know what? If there's an exercise that doesn't work quite as well as another one, as long as it's not dangerous, as long as it's not useless, like, you know, there's this big hate thing about hip thrusts at the moment because everyone's like, they're a shortened position exercise. They don't place the glutes under huge amounts of stress in the stretched position, so therefore they're not going to be as effective for hypertrophy. It's like, but if you really fucking love hip thrusts and you can lift pretty fucking heavy on hip thrusts, take them pretty close to failure and do them with good technique, your glutes will still grow. You know, we had that study last year where it was like squats versus hip thrusts, and I was like, why are we in camps here? Realistically, you should probably be squatting and hip thrusting, not sitting there going, I'm only going to do one because this paper said so. You know, realistically, you should be fucking doing both. And you should be training a muscle through its full contractile range from full stretch to full lockout anyway, regardless of what the muscle is, even if the literature says that stretch bias is going to be more important potentially for hypertrophy. You know, we've known that for a long time, but that doesn't then mean we have to sacrifice joint integrity and strength at different end ranges and all that sort of stuff, right? So, you know, when it comes to exercise selection, make sure you're doing enough of the recommended things to build out your program, especially if you want to build muscle. But don't be afraid to throw in things that you enjoy as well. You know, another one that I've heard quite a lot lately is like chest flies. You know, I put up a post saying that I personally don't really like chest flies that much because I find that a lot of my clients don't actually get as much out of them for their chest. They tend to load their biceps and their shoulders a lot because their execution isn't great. And for me, I'd rather they just did more pressing movements. But if you like chest flies and you get a really good stimulus from chest flies, do chest flies. At the end of the day, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's still going to grow your pecs. It just might not be the most quote unquote optimal exercise, science-based exercise, whatever. That's fine. That's okay. If you enjoy it and you're still doing your pressing movements around it, wonderful. Okay. So long story short, no matter what your fitness goals are, no matter what it is that you're chasing, whatever it is that you're going for, you need to be setting yourself up to have the best chance of success solely by doing what is going to work for you, okay? Yes, you want to do enough of this stuff that is like science-based, that is proven to work. So losing fat, you want to be controlling calories, whether that's through controlling your portions, counting calories, getting someone to do a meal plan for you, whatever it is. You can fast if you want to. You definitely don't have to. You know, you can skip breakfast, that's fine. You can eat two meals a day, you can eat three meals a day. Whatever fucking setup works for you with your nutrition is fine. Whatever setup works for you with training, whereby you feel you can recover from your sessions, you are genuinely progressing, and you feel comfortable doing your sessions in a way where you train with intensity and focus, amazing. Okay, set yourself up for success by setting yourself up based on what works for you, not what works for people on Instagram. Okay. And don't come messaging me saying what's going to work for me because it doesn't work like that either. Okay. You can ask me questions like, I can train 4 days a week. I really want to grow my bum. Should I be doing more glute volume in my week? Should I be setting my split up, something like that? And I'll say to you, probably, yeah, that could be a really good idea, especially if you really like training glutes and delts. Do that day on the Monday, because the Monday is usually the hardest day to get in the gym because you're after the weekend. You're like, fuck, got to start a new week at work, all that sort of stuff. You know, similarly, if you're kind of like, oh, look, I much prefer carbs. Can I eat more carbs than fats? Yeah, 100%. I much prefer fats. Can I eat more fats than carbs? 100%. You know, like, do I eat 2 grams or 2.2 grams per kilogram of body weight? Don't fucking matter. You know, if you like protein and you want to eat more, eat a little bit more. If you don't and you want to eat the lower end of the ranges, eat the lower end of the ranges. It's probably not going to make that much difference in the long run. Okay. So if you truly want to have success with your fitness goals, stop copying what other people do, start taking inspiration from what other people do and setting yourself up in a way that you know is going to work for you. And the exciting part is, you're probably not actually going to know until you try, but you have a pretty good idea beforehand, okay? So that's it for today's episode. Thank you for listening so much. I really, really appreciate it. I really appreciate it if you stuck around till the end. If you could share this with a friend, I'd really appreciate that as well. Leave a 5-star review and all that sort of jazz. I really do want to get back into interviewing people on this podcast as well and getting more guests on. So if you have a guest that you'd really, really like to see on the podcast, I'm going to leave my email address that you can reach me on down below in the show notes. Send me an email. Let me know who that guest is. If they're here in Australia, I'll try and sort it in a way whereby I can go and film with them. If they're not, if they're in America, if they're in the UK, if they're in Europe, if they're in Asia, wherever they are, we'll try and get it sorted over Zoom and then we can do an interview with them and talk to them about all things fitness, kind of talk a bit of shit as well. But anyway, this has been the Jack Hallows Podcast. You've been amazing. Thank you for listening. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.